Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of six live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific time, only on Netflix.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Take him down. The plan works completely.
Martin Tibor Tibura!
Wow!
He's out. That's it!
Jordan Leavitt slams Matt Weidman out cold seconds into the fight!
Whoa.
The bigger the lights, the bigger my composure. I don't have any fears out here. There's nothing to fear.
Jordan, the Monkey King of Leavitt!
Please tell me that's on video. I've never been happier.
I'm made for a fucking podcast. That's dangerous. Listen to me, we're at it.
Good evening. Welcome to UFC Unfiltered. Right now, Matt and I, we're not joined yet. We have three guests today. Let me put my glasses on. Nick Vile from The Bachelor. He's a former bachelor, and he's promoting his podcast called The Vile Files, which rhymes, so it works out nicely. Jordan Leavitt, undefeated, 8-0.
Matt Weidman went to jump the guard, and then he definitely, regretted that when he woke up, And they were giving him some shit. They were giving Jordan some shit because he was celebrating when Matt was sleeping. But I say, give the kid a break.
We also have Martin Tibora today, Matt. Sorry, Matt, Martin Tibora, who is in the co-main this Saturday, which is a really, really interesting main event. Augusto Sakai, Jarzinho Rosenstrike. That's a really, really good main event. And of course, Walt Harris and Martin Tibora is the co-main.
What's up, Jordan?
Nothing much. How are you guys doing?
Good. How are you?
As well as you can be on quarantine by yourself, cutting weight.
Oh, right.
what are you doing in the quarantine, Jordan? What do you do to stay, occupied?
Reading a lot.
Oh, what kind of books? What are you reading?
I'm reading Stephen King's Under the Dome right now, and I'm reading Eye of the World from the Wheel of Time series. Just bouncing back between that.
You're a big Stephen King fan?
I love Stephen King. He's my favorite author.
Yeah, mine too.
You see though, well, Jimmy, you're dark and gloomy for a comic, but I'm sorry, Jordan. But for yourself, those It movies, did you watch them?
I haven't watched the It movies because I haven't read the book yet. I want to read the book first.
That's the first Stephen King book I read was It.
Really?
In 1987, I worked in a warehouse. And I was just like unloading books, and it was a hard copy. I'm like, fuck it. And I started reading it. And I couldn't stop reading it. It's a great book. It's long. But yeah, the movie is decent, but the book is great. That's smart. Misery, I'm sure you've read.
Oh, Misery is a good one.
Yeah. And the book is even more brutal than the movie. The book's even more brutal.
Mm-hmm.
Is it really?
Yeah.
You know what movie just destroyed me? And I liked it so much until literally the last 5 minutes. The fucking Mist with Thomas Jane. Did you ever see that movie?
Yeah.
I haven't seen that
Come
movie.
Come on, Jordan, put your books down. Start watching. I'm kidding, Jordan. Jordan, what's your nickname again? How come it's not on here?
The Monkey King.
I fucking love that. I feel like slapping my producers and not putting that on here. I'm like, it's the Monkey. The Monkey King. How did you come up with that?
I went to middle school. We were, me and my friends went to go watch The Forbidden Kingdom. with like Jet Li and Jackie Chan, one of the few movies that are in on it together. Oh. And then we're watching the Monkey King figure. We're like, oh my gosh, he's like you. Maybe it was racially tinged. Who knows? But the whole playful persona is really a lot, you know, resonated with me. And it's kind of how I fight. So it's kind of stuck.
You are a happy fella in there. You look pretty happy.
Yeah, I am pretty happy.
How is your nerves? Is it a facade, like Jimmy likes to say? Are you trying to, like George St. Pierre, trying to put on a happy face, but you're really scared to death inside Monkey King? How is it or no? Or how are you feeling? How's your nerves before you walk out?
When I get to the venue, I'm never really nervous at all. I'm nervous up until I see my opponent at weigh-ins. Up until you see him in person, it's kind of like you have this caricature of them, you know, like, oh, they're this fighter, they're this. Yes. They look so big on tape. Then you see them, it's like, you're just another person.
Just a guy.
It's just a fist fight. If, you know, they would have pushed me on the playground, I would have pushed back, and then I would have ate their liver with some fava beans. Like,
by the way, that's another good book, Silence of the Lambs. I think I read that in almost 24 hours. Did you read that book? That's really good.
Yeah, and Red Dragon, the previous one, that's the Silence Lamb is the sequel. Red Dragon's also really good, from Harris, I believe. Yeah, they're really good books.
Yeah, Thomas Harris, I think his name is.
You two are both kind of creepy, man. You guys love this dark shit.
We do. Stephen King's an underrated author, though, don't you think? Because everyone's like, he sells a lot, but people don't realize what it, like, he's actually a really good writer about nonfiction stuff, too. He's a very interesting thinker. I think he doesn't get the credit from writers that he deserves.
Yeah, he doesn't get the literary credit. He's written, like, he has such a wide range of books, from Dark Tower. All of his books are so different and stuff.
The Bachman books. Did you read those? Like The Long Walk, Running Man. When he came out years ago and did these books under the name Richard Bachman, because he wanted to see how well things would sell without his name on it. Not as well, I think. I don't think they sold as well as Richard Bachman.
Running Man's really good dystopian one. And Thinner is also a Richard Bachman one. That's really good.
That's right. Thinner, The Long Walk, Running Man, and the other one,
Rage.
That's right. One word, rage. Good memory. You're amazing too, because you have really good awareness in the octagon. Your last opponent, you slammed, but the amazing thing was the way you walked him over to your corner. I was like, what tremendous awareness to hear your corner calling and to kind of walk him over there. And then the way you kind of had him framed when you dropped him, you just seem to, nothing seems reactionary. You really seem to have your head completely in every moment.
Yeah. I kind of just go out there and flow. I can't really, you know, I couldn't tell you what I was thinking during the time. I kind of just go out there. It's all instinctual at that point. But yeah, I remember picking him up and my coach saying, bring him over here. And I'm like, where are you?
Yeah.
And then I looked around, because, you know, the lights make you blind there. It's like being on stage. So, and then the knockout, yeah, that happy accident, you know, thankful for it. Also have mixed feelings about it.
And they gave you shit about that, I heard. I heard they gave you stuff for celebrating when he was unconscious. Is that right?
Yeah, I got some flack for that. How dare you, you know, celebrate? I mean, we waited for him to wake up to make sure he wasn't like injured. Yeah. And
you don't want him to miss. You don't want him to miss the celebration when he's sleeping.
And by the way, it was Matt Wyman. By the way, and I apologize. I said Wynn. It was Wyman. Stupid asshole I am.
So wait, what did you get for the? You know, man, it's your first time on here, Jordan. And what did you get started with? Where did you grow up? And what was your first discipline you got started with?
I was born and raised in Las Vegas, and I joined high school wrestling my freshman year, but then I quit because I sucked at sports. And I think I was a little too, I was a late bloomer. So like a few weeks after I quit wrestling, I turned on the TV and saw The Ultimate Fighter. And I thought that was the coolest thing. It was like season 10, Rampage versus Rashad. And I was like, I want to do that. Wrestling's too hard, but that looks pretty cool. So the next year I started doing wrestling again, and I liked Muay Thai way more than I liked jiu-jitsu. I used to hate jiu-jitsu.
Oh,
that's not my thing.
That's weird, because now you're so dangerous in jiu-jitsu.
Yeah.
So what made you finally come around to it?
So I had this first teacher, Lesme Sanchez, and his class was hardcore. And there was this one guy named Will. He used to always like knock me out when I was like 14, 15. And it kind of made me scared of Muay Thai.
Oh, that's
so, yeah, he'd always like knock me down and hurt me. And I was like, I'm a new beginner. I don't like this. So I started doing jiu-jitsu because I didn't want to get hurt. And then I had more of an aptitude for it.
Oh, wow. Jeez. Well, yeah. That guy, why don't you go spar with that guy now? Go look him up.
It's funny. He's at my gym now. Like, now we're friends. But I'm like, oh, Will, I remember you. So we laugh about it now.
Maybe you should thank him. You know what I mean?
I know. I should.
Guy turns you on to jiu-jitsu. Now you're the fucking monkey king.
Did you see, like, when you stopped, you said you stopped doing sports because you weren't very athletic. It's so amazing you had the confidence to kind of come back into it. Because like, a lot of times, you know, you drop out. Like, I was never great at sports, and it kind of discouraged me. I mean, then again, I didn't bloom either. I just got worse. But what was the point where you're like, fuck it, I think I actually have physically changed enough where I can do this?
I think it all started to click when I was like 16, where I was at a wrestling tournament. And I really just like thought myself through. I'm like, I'm not going to beat any of these guys that have been doing it for 10 plus years. I'm like, I'm way too behind the game. But I was like, but I can't bully these guys and I can't work on my cardio. So all I did through high school is basically just like bully guys around. I always had black eyes and stuff from wrestling, from like headbutting people. And I just figured out that even if you're not better than somebody, you can't beat them if you outthink them. So I learned that MMA, there's so many different avenues to beat somebody. You can have horrible skills in one area and still be successful. So now I just try to outthink every opponent and see how I could beat them.
And you want, now you read horrifying books. Are you a horror movie fan? Is that what you watch typically?
Oh no, I'm terrified of horror movies.
Really?
I think I'm still scared of the dark, low key. Like, I'm all here alone in the hotel right now. I slept with the light on. I don't like jump scares. I hate the anticipation from like a horror movie. Like the music changes and you know something's gonna happen.
Yeah.
It's like when you get shot, like you know the needle's going in, so it's way worse than if you would have gotten stabbed. So
wow. So you don't like the I don't mind that, but a book scares me like that too. Like Salem's Lot, when I read that, there was some terrifying stuff in that. Yeah, a lot of these you can handle the scare of a book, but the movies, you don't like the structure of it, kind of freaks you out.
Yes. The anticipation's worse for me when watching a movie. The book, you know, I'm still so busy focusing on like building the picture in my mind. But when you watch it on the television, like you don't have to do any thinking. You're just reacting. It's like all those primal instincts and emotions. So the book, I feel like you're distracted because you're too busy conceptualizing like the scene and what's happening, the dialogue, the voices. It's more distracting.
When you grow up in Vegas, because I'm always fascinated by people, because that's such a destination place. It's like it's a place you go to either watch fights or to party. How do you avoid falling into this life where you're always gambling or spending time in the casinos? Like, how far up, far away from that did you grow up?
Very far. I'm Mormon, so I don't gamble and I don't drink and stuff. And my family, I'm a fourth generation Las Vegan. We came like across the plains and settled.
Oh, wow.
So my family, a lot of them have worked in the casinos, but I've always been very aware of how stupid gambling was. I mean, I had a little poker phase for like 2 years, but for me, I'm just a very logical person.
Yeah.
And I'm so frugal. And I've always been broke. I've been broke like my entire life. So gambling was terrifying. I'm not good at spending money. So yeah, I think it's helped me out a lot in Vegas that I'm too scared to lose money.
So with your being a Mormon, you can't drink? Is that how it works?
Yeah. You don't drink alcohol or smoke. So
no. What's the Mormon's policy on reefer?
On reefer? It's up to interpretation. So like if a doctor prescribed it, there'd be no issue.
Oh. I'll be welcome at your Mormon parties, stinking a reefer on my medical marijuana card.
We'd love to have you, man. You'd fit right in.
Monkey King, pass the potatoes. I don't know. Listen, Monkey King, I love your nickname. And you're very entertaining to fight, so I'm really looking forward to watching you.
Yeah. Man.
You got a persona. You do. It's different. And that's good. That's a good thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you just have a child, or am I way off?
I just said, yeah, my baby girl just turned 4 months on Friday.
Oh, congratulations.
How great is that?
It's awesome, man. It's a lot. It's come a lot more naturally to me than I thought it would. It's really cool to have like a little person and how their brain grows exponentially. And she discovers her feet, and then she's learned how to, like, you know, calm herself by like brushing her own hair and stuff. It's really awesome.
4 months, you said? 4 months old?
Yeah, 4 months.
Okay. Yes. Now the personality starts coming out. Like, yeah, within the next few months, she's gonna be changing. It's great. I have three little girls. Well, they're a little bit old. Well, 12, 10, and 8. But yeah, man, it's great. It's a great thing. You know, congratulations on that.
Is it what you thought it would be? Meaning, like, do you feel like you thought you would feel, or do you feel differently than you thought you would feel?
I thought I'd be more flustered. People always tell you how, like, when I became a dad, it like changed my life. They have this big paradigm shift in their head. And so I was like waiting for her to come, and I was like, am I gonna be a good dad? So I didn't have a dad. I'm like, how do you be a dad? I had all these questions that I'm like, okay, I'm not prepared for this. But then when I like held her for the first time, and then she was in the NICU, and like so many emotions, and I was like, I could do this, you know.
How early did she arrive, Jordan?
She was only a week early, but she would just stop breathing and would like turn blue and have to be put on oxygen, which is scary because the nurses didn't tell me what was happening.
Nah.
So, you know.
Yeah, I can relate. My daughter, my first one was 5 weeks early, so it was scary, you know what I mean? But she was like 5.5 pounds, and when we got there, there was a lot more babies, well, way worse. Like really, you're looking at them, you're like, that baby doesn't belong out of the belly by far. Like little tiny little babies. So it's amazing what they do there, you know? It's so funny. When I got to that NICU, how do you pronounce it? NICU?
NICU, yeah.
Yeah. I saw one of my very first girlfriends in there. Isn't that weird coincidence? Thank God we ended nicely. Not that she would fucking do anything wrong, but she fucking, yeah, it was just weird. I'm like, oh, look at you. Well, here you are. Anyway, weird coincidence. Like, thank God we ended up nicely. Be standing guard over my kid. Thank God you weren't one of the psychos. Anyway. Hey, Jordan, I went to the movies for the first time the other day, and this is the pandemic.
Ever.
What's that?
First movie ever. Matt's never gone to a film.
Oh, I see my first picture. It felt good to see a movie again. You know, I haven't done that in a while. Do you ever go to the theaters? Or
I can't wait. I'm going to be watching Quiet Place 2. I'm super excited for that one.
You're scared of that shit.
That's not scary. That's suspense. That's different.
Yeah.
That's different.
I don't like that edge of your seat. Like I like the, you know who I like in that movie? Is the actress, whatever her name is. But she was also in Edge of Tomorrow with Tom Cruise, which was fantastic. It was like Groundhog Day, but an action movie.
And I like that.
That movie was underrated, underappreciated. Not as underrated and underappreciated as the 2012 Dread with Carl Urban. But nonetheless, I don't want to bring up that movie. It's one of my favorites. It's called Dread, not the Stallone one. Give that a chance if you're bored.
Dread. Okay, I'll give it a chance.
Jordan, you're fighting Claudio Puyas this Saturday. Come back and talk to us again, though. I mean, you're looking great. 8-0, 1-0 in the UFC. A tremendously dominant performance. And the win before that was very dominant as well. So you've looked great both fights. So
for a reason, man.
Yeah, absolutely. You're exciting, and we will definitely talk to you again. And good luck on Saturday.
Awesome. Thank you. Hopefully I won't need the luck.
Emmy award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of 6 live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Hey, how you doing, Martin?
Hey, I'm good. How are you?
Awesome. Thank you. Sure. How you feeling? I guess you're still in quarantine too?
Yeah, but well, the quarantine probably will be off until the fight. We did test it yesterday and we clear today evening, ready to walk around in just the hotel. So that's the what's quarantine look like.
Now, what do you do to keep busy when you're locked in your hotel room? Because you got to be all ramped up. There's only so many push-ups you could do, even though it's 50 just before you got on the
We do some workouts, but, you know, I'm busy today actually doing the interviews. We came yesterday, so at the evening we did a workout, and today I'm so busy with the interview, so I haven't had occasion to, you know, to start being boring yet. So I'm keeping busy by UFC.
I'm busy.
They got you busy. You had a great 2020, by the way. Everyone talked about Kevin Holland having a great, I think he was 5-0 in 2020. You were 4-0. I mean, you had a tremendous 2020. So this is your first fight of the new year. Are you like, I know you want to get back in front of the crowd, so hopefully this will be the last one without an audience.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, as I heard, UFC Vegas will be until the end of the year. So maybe next fight I will jump on some bigger event. But still, it's good to, you know, to have fights. Anyway, the pandemic starts, I thought I wouldn't be able to fight for the year, but the UFC held it, and it's great that, you know, we have possible to fight.
How long did it take you to get used to fight? Was it an adjustment for you fighting in front of nobody, or did you not even notice it, or was it something to get used to?
Well, it's not that bad because mostly when you spar, there is no audience, so it's easier actually to fight without audience. You can hear your coach, you can focus much better, but still it's some kind of a show you do for the fans. So it's much better when you have fans in the audience, and when you have audience and they can cheer for you, and once you finish, the feeling is much better when the audience is there.
Hey, Martin, for the fans, we like to get to know the fighters and our people. What's one thing unrelated to MMA, a hobby you like, maybe it's books you read, a TV show you're watching? Give us something.
Well, it's something that people don't know. I am a farmer.
You're a farmer? You live on a farm?
Yeah, I own a farm. My I grew up on the farm. I was the youngest kid of my parents, so they actually gave me the farm. I'm not still running it full, but I still own it, and some people helps me. It's not big farm, but still, I am a farmer. Yeah, there in Poland.
That's that farm strength we're talking about.
Yeah.
That's a real thing. So you're milking cows. You got the haystacks. It's a real farm.
Yeah, that's what I did when I grew up. Yeah.
Now, do you eat the animals on the farm? Can you do that? Like, if you like the pigs and the chickens, can you slaughter them and eat them, or do you get too attached?
Well, I can do it. It's I don't know if it's okay to admit, but yeah, I can do it.
Yeah. So now, because I'm wondering, like, if I started to like the animal, it would be hard to eat it. But guys that grew up on farms, it's just a part of the daily life.
I know. I actually like animals too, but you know, life is life. what can you say about it? It's
a circle of life.
Sure.
Yeah, it's a circle of life.
Yeah. Plus, you know, there's not going to be a lot of hormones or garbage pumped into it because you raised it, so you know it's going to be healthy.
Well, it's not like all of my animals. I did it, so yeah. It's rare actually when it happens.
How great did it feel with your last win over Greg Hardy? I mean, that was something else, man. He was coming out guns blazing, looking good.
Good body shots, yeah.
You stayed the course, man. You were not going to be denied that victory.
Yeah, that's was actually a great win because that was the fourth win in 2020, and that was a Greg Hardy. The guy's a heavy hitter. He knocked out many guys so far. So, and I could you know, stand there with him.
Yes.
In a striking game, actually, I received few heavy shots, but still, I was able to, you know, to come much more you know, rested in a second round and finish him. So that was a great win.
Was he hurting you at all at the body shots? Because he really was going to the body, and he seemed like he was having some success. Was that hurting you at all?
No, not really. There was some heavy shots to the head in the first. Was really kind of dangerous, but still, I didn't feel like I'm losing something there.
Now with Walt Harris, he comes out hot sometimes. comes out like, I mean. Are we ready for that sound of the bell? The bell is like, are you going to look to touch the glove first, or are you just ready for a charging Walt Harris?
It's probably the second. I see him as a guy who goes really hard, and I'm expecting a couple of scenarios. But I hope that he goes hard in the first round, and I will be excited to fight for the people.
Yeah, he had his moments in those fights he lost, especially. Yeah. The Alistair Overeem fight where he hurt Alistair, I believe, early. And then Alistair weathered the storm and come back. What an exciting fight. What a great opponent.
Yeah, it is. But I'm working on my defense a lot. So when I fought Ben Rothwell last year, he came with storm with the first round. And I was able to, you know, to cover myself from this. So... Not afraid of what Walt Harris will bring. I mean, you know, the guy needs respect because he's a heavy hitter and he's a tough fighter. But you know, I'm confident about my defense.
And you've also it looks like it's going to be Derek Lewis and Ngannou. That looks like what the next championship fight can be. Again, that's just I don't know if that's been confirmed, but I think that's what it's going to be. What do you think of that matchup?
Well, we saw it already. I hope this one will be much more excited than the last time. And I don't know if they fought five rounds last time or three rounds.
It was a three-round fight. I want to say it was a co-main.
Co-main, yeah.
I could be wrong, but I think it was a co-main.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, that was three rounds. So it's hard to predict because, you know, we saw what they saw, but... still, I think that Derek Lewis deserves the title shot again because this guy is like fighting the best in the heavyweight division and he knocked them out. So yeah, I'm excited for him to another shot at the title.
Yeah, they're looking at possibly August and then maybe Stipe. And Jones had said it was kind of harder for him to get to heavyweight than he anticipated. Which I guess that's a big jump up. And then it kind of makes you even more in awe of what Daniel Cormier was able to do to be so successful at light heavyweight and heavyweight.
Yeah. You know what? I remember John Jones did lots of weightlifting before the fight with Owen Sampru, and that fight didn't go well. I don't know how it affects when he gained so much muscle and so much strength for the heavyweight division. Ooh. I'm pretty much interesting to see him, how he performed in the heavyweight division, but I'm not so sure about he will be as stone as a light heavyweight.
Very interesting with the weightlifting thing there, Jimmy.
Yeah, because again, you're also facing guys who are a lot stronger. I mean, I'm stating the obvious. But I mean, it's a huge jump up. It's not that's a big jump.
Yeah, it is. And I think John, based on his reflex, on his movement and everything, that's when you gain so much muscle that he might lose something. Of course, the guys in the heavyweight division are moving a little slower, but still it's interesting, actually.
Well, Francis, too, the interesting thing about the second Francis Stipe fight, what, and Matt and I have talked about this too, was in a smaller octagon and Stipe came in light. And when he went for the takedown and Francis kind of splayed his legs back, which was a big improvement over the first fight, you're like, wow, he's really improved as a fighter. He's a much more dangerous guy because he's a lot harder to take down than he was 2 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I was saying that how would the second fight will turn for Francis. It's depends on how he improved his wrestling defense, and he did. He works a lot, and the guy is really focused on getting the title and to retain the title. So yeah, he improved this game, his game.
Yeah, he did. He looked really good. And again, you did look so great over Greg Hardy. And now what do you see now if this fight goes the way you want it to go? Obviously, you got to get through Walt Harris first, which is not easy, especially a guy coming off two losses, because you know you're going to get a guy who really feels like he's fighting for, you know, this is a huge fight for Walt Harris because he's coming off two losses. Does that change the way you approach it at all?
Not really. That's what I think about. He might come with a different scenario than the last two fights. Yeah. But still he's dangerous guy. Anytime he fights, of course, the guy, fights for actually maybe he to retain in the UFC, but it doesn't change anything to me.
It doesn't. No. Okay. Cause I always wonder if a guy's coming off a couple of losses, it seems like maybe does that make him more dangerous or maybe less dangerous because he's more likely to make a mistake? I don't know.
It can go both ways. You know, you can try so hard that you can make so many mistakes, but anyway, that's probably motivates you more. And you never know. We'll see after Saturday.
Your thoughts on the main event, Rozenstruik versus Sakai?
I personally cheering for Sakai because that was the guy I'm fighting with, and I lost. So I hope this guy win and maybe we will get the rematch. But also, as I see it, it's Sakai. It's hard to knock out, and Rozenstruik. It's the guy who based on one punch knockout. So I go 60-40 for Sakai.
Okay.
Well, listen, Marcin, it was really good good talking to you, and have a great fight this Saturday, co-main event against Walt Harris. And I'm sure we'll be seeing you again, and we'll be talking to you again.
Okay, thank you so much.
Hey, Nick, can you hear us?
Yeah.
So you won The Bachelor, or you were just...
Emmy award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of 6 live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
On The Bachelor. I just, it's not my show.
It's not mine either, to be honest. Winning is the only thing I haven't done. Actually, I took second twice, and then I was The Bachelor.
Oh, so okay. You took second twice on The Bachelor.
Yeah, it's insane.
So you were on that show twice. So as The Bachelor, what is the rules with that? You're the one who girls are trying to get to, or you're trying to get a date? What the fuck is explain to the people at home, not me.
Yeah, so they have a couple different formats. The two main ones are The Bachelor and The Bachelorette. And so The Bachelorette is when the woman is, they call it the lead, right? There's the single woman, and you have a bunch of male suitors hoping to fall in love with her. And when you're The Bachelor, you're the one guy. You have a bunch of women hoping to fall in love with the guy in the simplest form.
So wait, which one were you on?
Well, first I was on The Bachelorette, and I was top two.
Yeah.
And then I went back on again for like, it's a long story. I kind of knew the girl. Took second again.
Really?
Yeah. So, and then they made me The Bachelor. And then I...
You guys don't care about getting sloppy seconds with kissing the same girl and everybody's all trying to get
so,
on that?
So we're the world. You'll be amazed what, as you guys, I'm sure know, men love nothing more than a competition. And when you get into an environment, you're highly competitive. You're with a bunch of, usually a lot of athletes, a lot of guys. And it's pretty easy to, it's an isolated environment, right? There's no distractions, no phones, nothing, just a singular focus. And if there is a connection to be had, generally it'll, you'll get warped. You just kind of get fixated. And so the other aspects, yeah, you get jealous and you get annoyed and you don't get to see it a lot. So it's quite frankly a social experiment. So
that's a fascinating thing though. You like, I'm competitive with certain things, but when it comes to women, I'm not competitive because I know I won't do well. So to be able to kind of in a way out charm other really good looking, charming guys, that's incredible to even get into the final two. Because I know that I would not perform well, even if I had more physical gifts.
You never know. It's a different world, man. Because in real world, I'm not a very competitive guy when it comes to dating. Like I've been a confident guy, and it's just like I'm not here to chase something, you know, type of thing. But in that world, it's different. And again, you're not watching a lot of people do it. You do it on your own. I remember the first time on it, like I really liked the girl, but I honestly was self-aware enough to be like, I honestly don't know if I like her just because, or am I just like competitive? And it's really hard to tell. It's a fascinating environment.
Jimmy, I'm sorry. Did anybody ever stay together from this thing, then get married and have a family?
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, a lot of relationships don't work out. I'm definitely one of those people who doesn't have a relationship from that world, but people are married. There's kids that have been born. There's only been one divorce, and that was recently. Every other marriage that happened, they're still together, and there's a way more breakups than not. But I mean, like people in the real world have a very relationships in general are just hard to work out, right? Most of them don't work out. So it actually has a surprisingly decent track record.
What is it like to be on, to be the bachelor?
Yes.
And have women competing for you? Like, how does that feel?
It's flattering. It's cool at first. It's obviously a neat role, but in that environment, it's like the hardest job you can have. I mean, the truthfully is there's like 30 great, they're not casting for compatibility. They're casting for obviously
sure
TV and things like that. So you're lucky if you feel like generally interested and compatible for like four women. And then you have like 25 other women who are nice and beautiful and cool, but you just might not be vibing with them. And you have to it's a lot of conversations. It's an arduous job. I was grateful. I had fun, et cetera, et cetera. But like, it's not making out with 30 people in one night is not fun.
Are you forbidden from having sex, or you're allowed to do whatever you want as adults? They don't care.
Truthfully, they have the rules of the show, but as it's reality TV, there are no rules, man. They're just boundaries meant to be broken. And they will either use that, you know, to your advantage or against you, depending on how the show goes. So I never operated. I broke all the rules, so to speak. So.
Yeah, I don't blame you. I mean, it's got to be very difficult. You've really made out with that many women in a night? Like they just have you got like them filing in talking to you?
In a sense. I mean, like yeah. In that world, it's people like you said you didn't think you'd do well. I mean, you're a conversationalist, right? You put a lot of emphasis on your ability to talk, right? Because like you can't, you know, it is on TV. So like what happens a lot of times, people who don't have the gift of the gab or who can't connect, they'll get nervous and awkward and just want to make out. Right. And that kind of gets annoying after a while, you know?
Yeah, I can talk, but again, I'm trying to make up for a turtle shaped head and I blink a lot. So I don't think that's going to win any women over, but it's gotta be hard though, dude, because like, especially if you really like somebody, if all of a sudden you're in that process and you're like, wow, I like this girl. And then you're like, but does she like me, or is this just a part of a gig for her?
Totally. It's a total mind fuck. I mean, when I was The Bachelor, I pretty much, you know, like there are a lot of great people, but I was drawn to one particular girl. And once you're kind of locked in, you're just like, well, shit, what if she doesn't feel the same way? And you're just, there's a lot of expectations in that world. It kind of fucks you up in the head a little bit. But yeah, it's boot camp, man. Like it's mental. It's like mental gymnastics.
Right.
Ooh, mental jumping jacks. Let me ask you, you also did like acting. right?
Yeah, I'm still acting now. I do host some hosting. I've been lucky enough to do some movies. It's, you know, I study acting on the regular. I've been doing it for 4 years now. Obviously a highly competitive industry. I only been doing it for 4 years. So I'm lucky enough to, you know, have the podcast I have and have success doing other things, that the acting is more of a passion project for me. And it allows me to work on my craft and be patient, because, you know, you have some highly successful actors out there. You have to, you know, pick your battles and just keep working. And so, yeah.
I'm fascinated, but he was in a soap opera. You were in General Hospital, I think.
Yeah, I did a small kind of fun. I played myself on that. I was in this Christmas movie with Vivica A. Fox. I was in an ABC sitcom called Speechless. So I've had some fun small roles. A couple other TV shows. But you just kind of take your opportunities and try to be, you know, the best that you can be, and see what happens.
What is the shoot schedule on a soap? That's what I'm fascinated, because soap operas, they do like 5 episodes a week.
No, it's pretty wild, right?
It's like, fast, right? It's
just, they just do a couple takes. I think they'll figure it out in post, type of thing. And I think, I was kind of, to your point, I was kind of fascinated with it. The cast was really friendly. I spent half my time just kind of observing everyone, because it really is a fascinating, like, bam, 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 move on. It's not the same. Like, you shoot a TV show or a movie, or specifically a movie, they might do one take 30 or 40 times. Right.
Yeah.
And then they'll pick their best moments. But a soap, you got to give soap. That's what a lot of actors will cut their teeth in a soap, because for that very reason, there's not a lot of room for mistake, and you really have to know your stuff. And there's not a lot of forgiveness if you get it wrong.
You did Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah.
You're going to be on a Masked Singer next, or you can't tell us?
I wouldn't be able to. I can't sing for.
You can't tell us anyway. You can't sing. Well, either can I. It doesn't stop me from singing.
No, he sings a lot, Nick. He sings a lot.
Yeah. I've probably no mass singer for me, but the Dancing with the Stars is pretty fun.
And the it's called the Vile Files. Am I saying your last name properly?
Yeah, Vile.
Okay. Now, how long have you had this? Because obviously you were voted one of the top 10 podcasts of 2019. Podcasts are fiercely competitive because there's so many of them. Is it an interview show, or is there something specific you focus on?
Yeah. I mean, we actually have 3 different formats, but the 2 main ones, there's like an interview show, right? Like kind of like what you guys do. And I'll just interview different public figures. Like, for example, today we dropped an episode with Brian Bob Gardner, Kevin from The Office, and, different type of personalities, people I find interesting. And then it's also relationship focused. And so I'll have another show where audience members will call in, share their problems, have some questions. I've always kind of been the friend.
Right.
Who would give relationship advice, and people seem to find it helpful, and it's pretty fun, and we learn a lot. So, I've been doing it since 2019, and I'm really thankful, because it is highly competitive. You know, the barrier to entry to podcasts is, you know, you just have to buy a mic and talk. And,
yep.
But it's something I was passionate about, and I kind of just put my head down and grinded and didn't worry about making money. And it took about 9 or 10 months to blow up, but it did. And here we are. So pretty grateful.
Are you good in relationships? Like, I give pretty good advice. Like, I'm good at giving, I can see somebody else's problems and I can analyze, but as far as being a boyfriend, I'm kind of shit. Like, it's hard for me to be a good boyfriend, but I could tell somebody else what they're doing wrong. But are you actually good in it?
I've gotten better. Right. But every bit of advice I've ever given is something I've gotten wrong in the past.
Right. You know?
I'm older now, and I've made a lot of mistakes. I've gotten it wrong, you know? It's easier to give advice when you don't, like, you're not personally invested, but like emotions and feelings fuck us up, right? Like, it's so easy to be like, I do X, Y, and Z. And then you give a shit about something and your ego like shows up, and they're just like, yeah, all the logic that you know, we're just going to put that out the window and you're going to make a bunch of terrible mistakes. So as I've gotten older, I've been able to control my ego and kind of put a pause button on like wanting to react to a situation, and then kind of be like, you know, how would I, you know, I just gotten better at empathizing, because I was pretty shitty at that when I was younger. So, you just live and learn, but I'm certainly not perfect. And, again, a lot of all the advice I've ever given is something that at one point in my life I've gotten wrong.
Yeah. And I saw you did Family Guy too. And it's also, animations are not, that's another totally different form of acting because you're in a booth. You're basically just kind of standing there, usually not interacting with the other actors. You're just kind of reading it into a microphone, like with a music stand in front of you. Is that how they had you do that? And did you find that easy or harder than being on a regular set?
It was just different, right? I mean, I had a small role and it was just really cool. I'm friends with the showrunner. And so it was kind of an opportunity and they just kind of, hey, we wrote you into the script. So that was pretty surreal. I'm a Family Guy fan. And I think that to me, that's one of the cooler experiences I had because like I played myself and you know, I was a drawing and I'm interaction with Peter, but yeah, like it's you get an opportunity to say things over and over, but your inflection matters and you gotta have fun with it. It's just a totally different experience. I was more nervous doing Family Guy than acting just because I wanted to get it right.
I always like the thing I like about animation stuff is that if I fuck it up, it doesn't matter because there's not a bunch of other actors watching me. It's almost like when you screw up a line and you have a room full of people, but if you're just talking to a couple people in a booth, I don't feel as much pressure as I do, like, you know, wasting everybody else's day. And plus you're not going to forget your lines because they're written in front of you.
Yeah. I see what you're saying. I mean, I think for Family Guy, I just was pretty jacked up about it. And up until that point, I hadn't done a lot of animation. So it was just different. And so like, you just get self-conscious about like how close or how far away you are from the mic and things like that. But they were pretty gracious and patient with me. And it was a lot of fun.
All right, Nick. Well, look, let's plug your podcast properly. It's called The Vile Files, and people could just get it wherever they get podcasts.
Yeah, anywhere you listen to podcasts. We also drop the episodes on YouTube. If you're more of a visual person, you can watch it. And anywhere you listen to podcasts, you can check out The Vile Files. And if, we always have a lot of cool celebrities and public figures. And then obviously, you know, guy or girl, you know, you're probably struggling with a relationship of some kind. We focus a lot on that. And people seem to find it helpful. So check us out. And we appreciate it.
Yeah. Well, it's really popular. So you're doing something right. It's good talking to you, man. You're a fun guy to talk to and good luck with the podcast. And we'll talk to you again.
Appreciate it, Matt. Appreciate it, Jim.
Jimmy, I seen a movie. Jimmy, I went for the other day.
I need the song first.
Dun, 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 Matt's Movie Minute. That's me. I hate you. Why do I play into it when you're a fucking bully?
Okay. What did you see? I haven't been to the theater.
First of all, I started off the show weird today. I go, what do you got to say to me? And you're like, what?
Oh, yeah, I didn't understand that.
Well,
yeah.
What do you got to say to me? All right. I'll tell you later.
All right.
And then you're going to feel bad. But listen, anyway.
Jim, happy birthday.
I hate you. Did somebody give you a message just now?
No. But I'm guessing, what else would I have to? Birthday. No, I promise you didn't.
I'm getting messages all right now. Look at me. I'm writing back my Uncle Steve. I'm getting messages all day long. And you know how to break my big manly heart, don't you, Jimmy?
Why? You didn't let me get a chance to say happy birthday.
I asked you before. You got something to say? You're like, what do you mean? You almost snapped at me. I go, what? Nothing. All right.
No, I wanted to say it.
There, I'm going to ask you.
Truth be told, I wanted to say it towards the end of the show before we signed off.
Jimmy.
Yes.
Well, listen.
Okay.
As I write back my Aunt Donna. Anyway, this is what the deal is. So I went out the other day, haven't been to the movies since the pandemic. It's been a long ass.
Sure.
And I go, you know what? Dropped the kids off at my in-laws. They spent the night. And me and my wife had a night out. And we saw Jason. Did I do the movie minute? Oh, I did sing it already. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I smoke a lot of weed. we saw Jason Statham in The Wrath of Man. I never even heard about it. How about it's Guy Ritchie movie? It's a Guy Ritchie movie. So you know you're in pretty good shape going in. Because Guy,
yeah.
You know, not just being a Henzo Gracie black belt.
Sure.
He knows what he's doing. Yeah, give him a pass on the second Sherlock Holmes. I don't know if he did that. But you know, he usually does good work. So, but I didn't hear nothing about it. My buddy Hulk, Paul Harrison, you know him. He goes, sometimes he'll just give me like a movie review out of nowhere. He'll send me this movie's good. I'm like, oh, okay. That's all I knew about it, Jimmy. I didn't know anything else about it. I just knew that Jason Statham's in it. And, you know, sometimes people, you know, you've actually might have said this before. Like, I remind you that like a 5'6" Jason Statham, like an action movie star. Did you say that?
I said 5'1", but yeah.
You said, regardless of the height, you did. It wasn't embarrassing me. So I am a big Jason Statham fan.
Sure.
He's one of those guys that doesn't realize that he should shave his head. He thinks he's manly enough to leave the fucking partially bald head bald.
That's right.
It works. The guy does his CrossFit or whatever. So anyway, it's about like an armored car type service situation where they get held up a lot. But there's more to it. There was some casualties on a job. Who's related to who knows who, who's going in for revenge, some twists, some turns, a lot of action. And I'll tell you right now, funnier than you'd think. There was a lot of funny lines. Like Jason Statham has these lines that are just deadpan, just dry, and they come out of nowhere, and it's fucking hysterical. There was some fucking people laughing, and it reminded me what I like about the movies, Jimmy.
Hey, Matt, I'd do a good Jason Statham.
Jimmy, that's not only is that not Jason Statham, that's actually disrespectful to Jason Statham.
Hey, Matt, school's in session.
Is this Doug Bell? Who am I
talking? No, it's just Jim doing. I happen to have Doug's Bell, but that was just Jim doing Jason Statham.
No.
You think it was good?
No, it wasn't good at all. It wasn't. It's almost like me when I do Carl Urban's voice in Dredd.
Mama. I know what he sounds like.
Mama. He sounds like, well, you know what Judge Dredd sounds like?
Stallone.
No, I'm the law. He's not the law.
I'm the law. That's Jason Statham as Judge Dredd.
I'll tell you right now, he's got the accent, though. It's not going to work.
Hey, mate, I'm Jason Statham. No, you're not, Matt. We don't shave.
No, that's not going to work.
That's good.
But Carl Urban, I can listen to him say, Mama Clan. He says it like that. I say cringy. But he also says, has this new, what's it?
That's good.
But he has this girl that's working with a partner. She's a rookie. So he's like giving her like, he's like evaluating her. So he's like, what do you say, rookie? You like that? What do you say? Ready? And I'll put part. You can't see my face because this is what Judge Dredd looks like. You just see this part. Look like this. What do you say, rookie? Oh, I can do this, Jimmy.
Oh, me too. Yeah.
What do you say, rookie? Mama Clan. What?
Hey, mate. What do you say, mate?
You fucking bitch of tits. You got to go to your fucking face.
I did. Hold on.
Anyway, I like the movie.
Hey, mate.
All right. I like the movie. Afterwards, one of our fighter, Charlie Campbell.
Okay.
Oh, he's tough. He fights on the local circuit. He fucking, his uncle, Uncle Pete, went to his diner afterwards and had some fucking bites and burgers.
Those are good.
Shout out to Uncle Pete. Charlie's a little savage, Charlie the Cannibal. You'll see him in a big show, I'm sure. But the real hero is his Uncle Pete. Makes some good ass bison burgers. All right, listen. Back. Well, so the movie I recommend.
Okay.
I recommend it. So, you know, it's up there. I enjoyed it.
I saw that, Matt. I was perusing like the app store or whatever, iTunes store. And they had that because they're
perusing
showing
on perusing on a Sunday afternoon, right?
I was perusing.
Yeah.
And they do have certain movies in the theater that you can watch as well. And I think that came up. So now I'll watch it on your recommendation because I got one.
It's fun.
That was a spy movie.
Oh.
And it was a pile of shit.
What's the name of it?
Let me look it up. I don't remember. Hold on.
A spy movie?
No, it's a true story. Woman, German radio. I forget the name of the movie. It's called American Traitor.
Oh boy, sounds really.
It's the movie of Axis Sally, who was an American woman who broadcast on German radio. Apparently, Joseph Goebbels made her do it, or you know. They had her passport, but she was encouraging American troops to surrender, blah, blah, blah. So she was seen as a traitor. But this movie is dull. It has zero vibe.
How about this? I hardly made it through you explaining what the fucking movie's about.
Yeah, dude, it's not good. Even Pacino is not good. It's like, it's almost like watching a bunch of.
Yeah, she had a great ass. Hey, she sure did, mate.
No.
That's Pacino and Jason Statham talking. Jason
Statham was not in heat, Jimmy. You can't take these liberties because you're going to ruin. These people are going to think he's the guys in the movie.
Yeah.
And he wasn't in there. It was Val Kilmer was in there.
Yeah.
You know, then he did Batman and Robin, and then it fell.
This movie is not great, Matt.
I don't think it was George Clooney, by the way.
Batman. What's that? He's the best Batman. Yeah, go ahead. American Traitor is not good.
Well, it wasn't on my list of things to see.
No, not mine either. But again, I saw Pacino and I said, what the heck? Oof.
There's some picks.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah, we'll do the main and the co-main because we get most of them wrong anyway.
I'll tell you, Jimmy, you can't teach an old jiu-jitsu man new tricks. Can I tell you that right now? That I'm having success with my double trouble where you control the both legs. Jason Rao, one of my black belts, who's phenomenal. In his own right, as far as just in jiu-jitsu, he's phenomenal, world-class. He's helping me with my leg locks when a student becomes the teacher. Jimmy, I'm very open-minded. I love my Kimuras. I still love mounting people. I'm an old-school jiu-jitsu man, but...
Yes, you are.
I rolled the other day with a couple of my guys, and I was so happy to get some new stuff off. It's like anything else, Jimmy. It's almost like you landed a new joke. Nothing like that at all. But I've got this new outside ashi where I'm pulling off, and I'm like, this is fucking great. And I'm also a setup when I'm controlling those two legs. And it's such a sweet setup where I'm even getting a calf slice or I'm getting that inside heel. And Jimmy, I just feel like I got some new toys I'm playing with, and I'm having fun with it. I just wanted to vent that to you.
Okay.
And Jimmy, like I often say to my 7 a.m. class when they say, oh, shit, we just saw you last night. You know what I tell them? I live this shit.
Yeah.
All right. So, Jimmy, when are you going back on tour? When are you going back out there?
August. I'll have dates to plug soon. It's going to be probably August will be my first one. I'll plug it soon. August.
Well, you might be in Long Island, maybe.
No, not Long Island.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm just saying. What was I going to say? What else we got? What else do we got? Oh, we got to do the picks.
Let's do the co-main and the main. Let's do.
Fine, I'm fine with that.
Let's do Martin Tybura against Walt Harris. That's a tough.
He looks.
I love Walt Harris too.
Yeah, I know. I do too. I love Walt Harris. You know, but Walt Harris, man, listen. Remember what he did to Olenek.
Yeah.
And Olenek's a beast. So it's
yes,
like,
he is.
Oh, well, this guy's got possibly the better grappling. And this is what I think. I think that Martin's looking at this and he's looking at his last three opponents and he's saying, look, I'm having a lot of success lately. I mean, he's not saying this. This is me just
looking. You being him. Yeah.
This is me kind of just making my pick. So he's thinking he should be confident. And maybe he's thinking, all right, you know, Walt's losing a couple. Maybe he's slipping. I disagree, Jimmy. I think that Walt knows he can't lose another one. You know, everybody knows him. Everybody loves him. He's always coming to fight. But hey, man, three losses is no good. He knows his back is up against the wall. He's going to be a little bit more, I feel, measured. And maybe be as far as putting that foot on the gas, he's going to be a little bit more concerned on when he does that, fighting in more intervals. But I feel he will be victorious in this fight.
You feel okay?
I'm not going to say by decision because I don't think Martian. Listen, I like him. I think he's a tough Polish farmer that we just found out. He's going to be a hard guy to put away. But I feel with the right tactics, strategy, I think Walt Harris can get this victory.
I am going to take Martin Tybura in the second round.
You're not even getting into the why.
I'm going to take him because I do think. That as much as you're right about Harris.
Oh, I can also be wrong about him.
I think, but then again, coming off two losses, Tabora's coming off four wins. It could work either way.
I am the law. Mama's not the law. Mama, I'm coming for you.
Who do you think's going to win the fight, mate?
Jimmy, I want you to see Dredd.
I will.
And you'll love it. It's so violent. It's one of my favorite movies. Can you watch it?
Yeah, I'm just busy this month. I'm busy until August, but I will watch it.
Fuck, it's 2 hours out of your time. I'm going with Rosenstrike.
Yep.
Rosinho.
Rosenstrike.
Well, we cut off my song. But I'm going with Rosenstrike.
No, but Sakai, he lost to Overeem his last fight, but he was on a 6-fight win streak before that.
Yeah?
Yeah. I'll take Rosenstrike as well.
Tell me how many fights Rosenstrike lost. Huh?
Two out of his last three, but before that, he was on quite a streak.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much for agreeing with me. For
he was 10-0 at one point, I think.
Well, we were all undefeated at one point. You technically are still undefeated. That's right, I'm thinking Rosenstrike, and I'm going to say TKO in the fourth round. I said it. Me. This guy said it.
Okay.
What do you got to say, Jimmy? Ooh, touche.
Oh. I'm going to take Rosenstrike third round.
Turn around, pride us. Every now and then I fall apart. Jimmy, what'd you say? Third round? Okay. Ooh, you surprised me with that. I thought you'd go against me. All right, Jimmy. I think all work is done here.
Yes, thank you to our guests, Jordan Levitt, of course, Martine Agora, and Nick Vile. And this was a fun one, man. It was good talking to all those guys. They were all first-timers on this show, so it was a lot of fun.
It's true, Jimmy. And I have a feeling they most likely will be back.
Yeah.
You know, Jimmy, so. I will be FaceTiming you later when we're doing the group.
And a happy birthday to Matt.
Jimmy's new character is really getting under my skin.
But this is just me.
I like the bell, I think, better than the other.
This is just me.
That's not you, Jimmy.
That's me ringing Doug's bell.
Didn't your friend once have a show called Ring the Bells?
Ring my bell, yeah.
Ring my
bell. Why don't you do Doug Bell would love to interview you.
Well, Jimmy, I don't think that's going to happen. Yeah. But it will happen before Chip. I will tell you that.
I think you should do Chip, too.
I think you want to plug them. Let's plug what we're doing. Are they both on? Is Doug Bell on Cameo also?
Doug Bell's on Cameo. Chip's on Cameo. Jim Norton's on Cameo. None of them are on the app. They are all only online. So go to cameo.com/Jim Norton or /Chip Chipperson or /Doug Bell and get someone a good Father's Day gift.
Well, Jimmy, I'm a father. Listen, when is Father's Day?
It's in June. That's as far as I can tell you.
Oh, Jimmy, I'm going to use my time to not plug anything besides Cameo. But I will say that I want our audience, I'm going to give out a homework assignment. I want them to watch two movies, one funny and one action. The funny movie is a stoner comedy called Grandma's Boy. Very funny from the Happy Madison production.
Oh, I love Nick Swartzen's a buddy of mine. I love him.
Swartzen's in it.
Yeah, he's great.
I challenge anybody to see if they've seen this in the theaters. Me and my wife are the only, it was in and out of the theaters so fucking fast. I'm going to say it's a cult classic. I'm saying that because people love it. So go see Grandma's Boy. Get that. You could do worse. And also, if you got time, the most underrated, underappreciated comic book movie ever, watch Dread. Not the earlier one. What's the best of the one? This is what Call of them. Watch Dread. Watch those movies. You want to do want me to see the impersonation one more time? And you're going to see this. Mama Clan, I'm coming. I can be the next Dread. Yeah?
I think so.
Jimmy,
Hi, mate.
It's my birthday. Tell me you love me.
I do love you. Happy birthday.
Thank you, Jimmy. I'm not mad you didn't remember. But listen to me. I'll talk to you by this weekend.
Yes.
Okay? Everybody, thank you, Unfiltered Army.
Happy
Best birthday.
Birthday
present ever is having you as my friends and fans.
Emmy award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of 6 live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble.
Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.